Arthropod, your entomology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jody Green, of University of Nebraska.
And I'm your other host, Michael Scavarlett, Penn State University.
On today's show, we're talking about fear and insects, not in Las Vegas. How's it going, Mike?
Good, how are you?
Good. So we're going to talk about fear today.
Oh, this will be fun.
Do you have any fears?
I do. I am afraid of falling.
Really? I think that's actually one of the top 10 fears I was looking at. Is it because of the heights?
Nope. I love heights. Oh. If I am strapped in and know I'm not going to fall, I'll walk on a ledge that's, 4 inches wide. Oh. It's the falling and the splat at the end that I can't handle.
Oh, the splat at the end. Oh, okay. What about if you're falling into like a trampoline or a soft, puffy pillow?
It depends. I tried jumping off of a 20-foot deck into a lake once, and every time I ran at the edge, my legs locked up and I'd like fall on my face because I just couldn't make myself jump off of it.
And so it's not heights and it's not flying. It's just the falling part.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
I really want to go jump out of an airplane and see if I can go parachuting because maybe that'll break me of it.
You should try it. Let me know when you're going to go. I'll go with you.
Okay.
I'm afraid of urban turkeys.
For real?
Yeah, I was trail running once and a mama turkey attacked me. And I still don't know what to do. So I didn't learn from that experience. So I'm still a little embarrassed from it because I think whatever you do, you should learn something from it. I'm not sure what to do in a turkey attack. But yelling, go home at it like a dog is not the right answer. But anyway, if we get back on topic, have you ever heard of entomophobia?
Yes.
Because
fear of insects?
Right. And in extension, we probably get a lot of people who call or send things because they're afraid it's going to be something that they don't like or that it's just anything. You get different levels of fear, don't you?
Yeah. And I'm not sure, at least from talking on the phone or just getting a sample in, like, how much that plays into it. Because, like, sometimes they're legitimate pests. And sometimes they're just things people are worried that it's a pest. And when you tell them, oh, it's, a house centipede, it's not really a pest, then they're fine with it.
Right.
So I'm never sure exactly how much fear plays into it. But I also wonder how much fear plays into things like delusory parasitosis or, just my fear that their house is infested with things when it's not because they're just afraid.
Right. So entomophobia is the same as insectophobia, which is an excess or unrealistic fear. And so the American Psychiatric Association actually classifies these phobias as, having these specific symptoms. So like you can even be like paralyzed that you can't even move. It's kind of like when you're talking about, your fear of jumping because of the landing, right? You're just, you don't know why, and you're paralyzed and you can't take that extra step. It could be like a reflex that you're not even thinking about. So unconscious reflex, and it's exaggerated. And sometimes it leads to social isolation. So, in my case, I'm a trail runner and there's a certain trail I can't run because that's where the turkey attack happened. Right?
So,
you could be afraid of things, but when it's like affecting your life or something, your activity. So actually the National Institutes of Health, the phobias as an ongoing and unreasonable fear of a certain object, animal, activity, or situation that poses little or no actual danger. So, I don't know. So maybe in your case, in my case, there might be a little actual danger. But this is like, you can start sweating and have like a physiological response to these fears. And when it comes to insects, I've seen a lot of people, I think arachnophobia is number one. So I was actually afraid of spiders when I was a child. Were you ever afraid of any insects, Mike?
I don't remember ever being afraid of insects, at least like to a phobia level. I won't grab black widow spiders, but because I know that they're legitimately dangerous.
Right, so. Right. So maybe the education behind it, not to be afraid.
Right.
And so sometimes people will panic unnecessarily. I know that when that movie Arachnophobia came out, I could not watch it, and someone actually sat on me the whole entire time while that movie played.
Oh, that's cruel.
And that didn't make it better at all. When I actually conquered that fear, I remember I saw a spider crawling up my bedroom wall, and I had a friend over, and I was like, hey, you need to come help me. And I'm trying, I can't even be as afraid and screamy as I was. And the person that was in there, who was actually a male friend, he saw the spider and he said, ah, and he ran out of the room. And then I was like, I can't be like that. That's, you know, I'm going to have to take care of myself here. And so, nowadays,
so was it just like a switch being flipped like that? Like all you had a phobia and it was irrational, and then all of a sudden like flip and then it was gone? Or
it was a flip and I was like, I need to conquer this. Like it was like, I can't be like that. I can't, like he ran out of my house and I was like, no, that can't happen. Like I can't be like that. And so, well, look at me now. I mean, I just brought over, I'm traveling with my wolf spider. It's actually in a container right now, just like in this office. But what do you do if you find a bug in your house, Mike?
What do I do? The first thing I do is identify it, which, I mean, for a lot of for most people, that would be a more laborious process than it would be for, say, us entomologists.
I'm with you. That was I wrote down what I would do before I asked you, and so that is definitely identify was number one.
Yep. Okay, and then deal with it as appropriately. You know, most things I'll let outside, but.
And what do you say?
Stink bugs, I'll kill because they're invasive.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. And do you vacuum? Do you flush it? Do you squish it?
If I'm killing something, I'll generally get it in a piece of toilet paper and flush it.
Toilet paper. You know what? I have to say that, do you get most of your insects wrapped in toilet paper when it comes to you?
I get some wrapped in toilet paper, but honestly, they're a small minority. But I'm also getting things filtered through the county extension offices, so they come in like the same files from every office. So yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it.
I can't tell you how much I hate seeing a baggie with toilet paper, and that's it. But so for me, I've had identify first, and then I take a photo because I like to tweet that out because I feel like something's in my house. Then, you know, the people that follow me on Twitter will likely find the same thing and they could look me up and see that it's a pest or not a pest and what I did with it. And then I do either put it outside, feed it to my spider, and if I have to squish it, I flush it. And as it's going down the toilet, I say, sorry. But
I should tweet more what I find because I forget about that and forget that people follow me for entomology and not like every other thing that I talk about.
Yeah. Well, in my pictures are not great. They're usually with my phone because it's like as it's happening. So I'm trying to tweet out what's happening. But so going back to fear, do you think that what do you think causes this fear?
I think obviously I'm not a medical doctor or a psychologist, so I'm just talking here, but I think a lot of it may have to do with childhood,
like a trauma
experiences. Yeah. Like somebody chased you with a spider or a snake or, and we can get into this later, but fear of butterflies and moths,
tell me about that.
Like a big moth came at you and you didn't know what it was. And then, you know, you're afraid of this thing that is harmless. But I think I wonder how much of it has to do with like early childhood trauma that you may not even remember, but sticks with you.
Or something bad happened, like some kind of medical issue, but you attribute it to like a wasp or something like that. The rest of the time that you see the wasp or anything flying outside at you, you might have that fear. Is that your phone?
It was. I'm so sorry about that. I just figured out how to decline phone calls.
Oh, that's good.
I'm still learning my phone system.
No problem. I was also thinking when I was reading, because when you do have that traumatic experience, you end up avoiding situations, changing your behavior. But then also there was questions in different places that said like genetic. Is there a genetic condition or, you know, could that be like, parents are afraid of certain things and their child has it or both? Because I think it probably is both, because if you're afraid, you kind of learn that from your parents. And I know from Bug Bowl and other situations where we see a lot of families come and learn about insects, just from my observation, parents who are like, nope, don't touch that. Nope, ew, no, you know, and they scream when they see anything flying at their face or flying outside or, you know, things around a trash can, whatever. They're just like, no, don't touch that. And so those kids probably learn that, you know, we're not supposed to touch that. These are not friendly. Mom hates them. Dad hates them. So we have to hate them. But I don't know.
Right. No, I think that's totally learned, especially in those kind of circumstances.
It would be interesting to have a study with like your kids, mine and Jonathan's children, like have a study with, you know, kids of entomologists.
I'm Googling it real quick because I'm pretty sure there is a study out there that showed that with snakes, like humans as a rule don't have an innate fear of snakes. Like as infants and toddlers.
Well, my daughter's 8 and she loves bugs. She loves spiders. She thinks they're great. Like I have to tell her not to touch things, you know, and then I tell her why, and then she's good. Or I'll just put up signs all over the house. Like the velvet ant, there was a sign up that just said, "Mom says don't touch this."
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, you know, what's seasonal and out there that you might want to pick up? Let's not touch this. Mom says not to touch this.
I have to do that because we have the hickory tussock moths around here, white hairy caterpillars, and Vaughn wants to touch them all the time.
Right.
I just looked real quick. Apparently, I had that story 180 degrees backward. humans apparently do have an innate fear of snakes and spiders.
Yeah. Okay. So if it's an innate fear, is it like an evolutionary thing that is it because of the venom? Is it because?
Probably. I mean, humans evolved in Africa and there's a lot of venomous snakes in Africa.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was like a dangerous, like deadly thing. So we've evolved to want to avoid them.
Well, and you know, now that I think about it too, it's getting a little bit off topic. But with the phobia of snakes and in the evolutionary reaction to them, I was collecting leaf litter one time and grabbed a copperhead and didn't know it. And the next thing I consciously remember picking up leaf litter. And then the next thing I remember being aware of, I was 10 feet back and the snake was on the ground. Like I dropped it and like jumped away. And I have legitimately no recollection of doing it. Mm-hmm. Because like everything just kind of turned off and was instinct for a second.
Yeah.
So like there is an innate thing there and with snakes and apparently with spiders too. So I wonder what that says about those of us that aren't afraid of spiders, like going against that evolutionary tendency to be afraid of them.
Yeah. And how do you conquer those fears? Right. I mean, I know that there's, I guess, medication and different exercises you can do. I have one of my best friends has been afraid of cockroaches basically her whole life. And her story was that she grew up in, you know, in low-income housing and apartment and they had cockroaches. And so she cannot stand cockroaches. And I had Madagascar hissing roaches at home for a little bit. And she was legitimately like crying and shaking when she saw them. And after maybe 15 minutes of letting her handle them and show like touch it, and she's okay now. But and then when I told one of my psychologist friends, they were like, yeah, that's a thing. That's like people do that to conquer their fear. That it's exposure therapy. You should go into that. And I was like, what?
Yeah. You know? I've heard of that, and that's getting into things that I don't know a whole lot about, but I have heard that works. It's just convincing the person to take that first step of like, no, you really need to get over this fear, and here's how you do it, even though you don't want to.
Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, if you're on Twitter, you actually, they call like the gateway spider is like the peacock spider, the jumping spider, because
they're so,
so
cool.
Adorable. Right. And when you see them, like, I'm always like, if you hate spiders, and I'll show one of those videos that are on YouTube that are them dancing, doing the mating dance. They're beautiful. They're colorful. They're animated. It's definitely the gateway spider. And so I'll have people ask me about that link later. And they seem a lot better. So if you ever, that's a good trick.
And they're small too. Like even for jumping spiders, they're not very big. So it's not like a tarantula that's intimidating just based on size alone.
Well, from what I was reading, arachnophobia, again, number one, and they said in the United States, like 1 in 10 people have arachnophobia and most of them are female. So they said, a real big gender bias there. But when I was looking at like CDC deaths in the United States, it said like the animal or insect that kills the most people each year is like bees and wasps. And that's because of the allergy. So not everyone, you know, will die of that. But worldwide, you know, the top killer insect is mosquitoes.
Because of malaria.
Yeah. So, and, you know, when people ask me, like, which one should I be afraid of? I'm like, well, why do you be, you know, don't be afraid. Get, you know, get educated, get, you know, learn about them. But I'm always like mosquitoes and ticks. You know, anything that's going to cause a disease that is going to hurt you, you know, but a lot of the other things. So I hadn't heard of like a moth phobia. So that was interesting to me what you talked about today. But then there's also acarophobia, fear of mites and having parasites crawling on the body. And what you talked about earlier with delusory parasitosis or Ekbom syndrome, when people believe that, you know, there are bugs on their body, living on their body. Right now, there isn't anything that does that. And if there are, such as scabies or body lice, then that is not an entomological issue. And people need to go to their doctor for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have yet to run into any scabies or body lice. So,
well, congratulations to you.
It makes it sound like you have.
Yeah. So I did want to put this book on my list, The Infested Mind, Why Humans Fear, Loathe, and Love Insects.
That sounds really good.
And so I think we should try to figure that out, because I think fear, loathe, love, you know, somebody is, you know, everyone's on one of those spectrums, I think. But when you look at, there's a study that had all the insect diversity or arthropods that are found in homes. Did you see that study out of NC State? It's pretty cool.
I saw the headlines and I may have read a popular article about it, but I don't think I've read the article itself.
No, actually, every now and then when I feel like I want to do something around the house, I'm like, let's collect every bug in this house. And then my daughter usually gets pretty bored. But, you know, they found that there's like 500 different kinds of arthropods in homes. And they did that in around Raleigh. But if you think about it that way, there's no way that humans are going to be able to get away from arthropods and insects, right? Like, they're just not.
Well, when you consider the things that are just flying in incidentally, like I had a person submit spotted cucumber beetles that were coming indoors and like flying to the window, and she's like, "Are these gonna eat my house?" I'm like, "Well, no, they're spotted cucumber beetles."
We have a lot of those; they're all over.
Oh yeah, but you can't get away from them. They're so ubiquitous out in the environment, and they just fly in when you open the door. Like, there's no way to keep, even discounting the things that are anthropophilic. And like house spiders that in house centipedes that legitimately live and reproduce in your house. Like, there's just so many things outside that you can't keep them all out anyhow.
Right. And all these arthropods that they found in the house, like, they're all doing something, you know, they're helping in some way. And if they're there, it's usually some kind of conducive condition that's allowing them to live so successfully there. Right.
Right. Well, I mean, before the show, me and you were talking about house spiders a bit.
yeah.
Because I take the house spiders I found in most parts of my house and release them into my basement.
Yeah, you keep them in the house because that's where they are, right? And I was telling you how I feel bad. So when I'm releasing them outside, I'm like, am I giving you a fair chance? And so at least I put them close to where, you know, other bugs where they can have something to eat until they find someone else's home.
Yeah, but you figure if they're living and reproducing in your house, they're finding things to eat in there. And those things are probably flies and whatnot that you don't want in the house anyhow. So what would you rather have, a couple spiders that are just hanging out in the corner, or, you know, fruit flies and every other thing?
Yeah, I mean, I always say that there's always like carpet beetles, book lice, like socids and springtails, like they're kind of always there. And pill bugs and sow bugs, I always get really surprise when no one's ever seen one of those before.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of requests of sow bugs coming in, like, what are these? And like, have you never flipped over a rock or a log?
Right.
And I mean, not you know, making fun of those people, because I legitimately want to educate them about them, but it's just, you're right, it's surprising, because I don't know, it feels like a squirrel. How have you not encountered a squirrel in your life?
Right. And then, and you know, to say that this is what they do. They feed on like decomposing organic matter. They're usually out in the garden. They're always around somewhere it's dark and, you know, moisture. There's nothing to worry about. Don't use insecticide everywhere. You know, not necessary. So hopefully, you know, that calms some people's fear. Being able to identify it, you'll get, you know, the person every now and then that just wants to spray regardless. And they don't, I don't like it. I've never had this problem. Sometimes homeowners are really worried that their house is not clean. You know, I've never had this problem before. I keep a very clean house. They always want to make sure we know that.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I wonder how much of the insect ID requests that we get are due to phobias and due to lack of knowledge. Because it seems like most of the people I talk to aren't necessarily afraid of them. It's more like, I don't know what this is. Is it hurting the house? And when you tell them like, no, it's not a pest, it's fine, then they're fine with it. Or yes, it is a pest, here's how you deal with it. Then even then they're fine with it because now they know what it is and what to do about it. So I'm not, I haven't run into, I don't think, a whole lot of the phobias associated, at least with the ID request side of it.
Well, that's good. Do you think that like popular culture and movies and things like that increase insect fears?
I don't know. So you mentioned the show Arachnophobia or the movie and being forced to sit through it. And I wonder, like, if you could record it, like, was there a spike in people with arachnophobia after that movie? Like, they went in and saw it and then came out and, like, they're afraid of spiders now. I'd be really curious to see if that does affect it.
So that year that movie was released was 1990.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. But I looked up a couple other movies on IMDb. There was, like, a little page that was insect-related horror movies.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah. And like there's a pretty long list and I haven't seen any of them, but when, except for Arachnophobia. And it's funny because now as an entomologist, I probably would like scoff at some of them, but you know, I wonder if some of these did over time since, you know, the 50s, you know, exacerbate people's fears. When I asked Sonny Cochran from my office, like what is the scariest insect movie? She said Starship Troopers.
Oh, I love that movie. It's so campy.
So I had to look it up, the bug, in quotes, find out. So because I hadn't seen it, but she said that was really scary and they were always trying to kill the bug. You know, everyone's always trying to combat or beat the bug. And so I looked at some of the titles. So like there's the Deadly Mantis, the Swarm, Empire of the Ants, you know, Killer Bees, Eight-Legged Freaks. Like they're not, you know, I mean, these are definitely not romantic comedies by any sense, but you know, this is a horror movie. The Fly and Mimic I heard were pretty good, but I hadn't seen those either.
So, you know, I wonder how much of it, I'm thinking another non-insect movie, but Jaws, and how people like after that movie came out refused to go to the beach or go swimming or even like go swimming in lakes like that. That movie had a cultural ripple effect of people being afraid of the water because of sharks.
True.
Now, I don't think any of the insect movies have been as popular as Jaws, but, you know, on some smaller level, I wonder if they've had an effect like that.
And I wonder, like, well, on the flip side then, like the, you know, the feel-good family insect movies like, I don't know, Bugs Life.
Bee Movie and Bugs Life.
Yeah, like,
and
do those make insects seem better? You know, I don't know if it only
like,
go one way.
But you notice in those movies, it's often the same kind of insects that are portrayed in a good light. Like it's honeybees, it's bumblebees, it's caterpillars, ants are maybe an outlier, even though there's the movie Ants. But mm-hmm. like they're always like the bugs that we like. You never have like the happy spider movie.
Maybe we should get Jonathan to make one. He's super talented.
Yeah. He needs to learn CGI and be a giant computer team in and of himself and make me a cute spider movie for my toddler.
Yeah. Oh, my kid would watch it too. There'd be like, you know, three, and his daughter would watch it too.
Yeah.
So what else? Do you have anything else about any entomophobia?
No, I think this has been a fun talk. I legitimately, I think so, the many of the phobias, I think, are grounded in some kind of truth, like arachnophobia. There are spiders that can kill you. You know,
there are. I mean, yeah. I mean, around here, I know you guys did the brown recluse. Yeah. A couple weeks ago. But like around, like, I mean, Australia, right?
Yeah.
If you were there, I mean, I would be shaking out my shoes and just keeping my eyes peeled. I wouldn't want to roll on anything or have any spider pressed up against my body. But, you know, there are legitimate.
Yeah.
You know,
like there's legitimate
spiders.
Reasons for some of them.
Right.
But then irrationally, you take it too far.
Yeah. I still wouldn't hate on them. I still would take a picture and identify it first. Right now, especially since fall is coming and wolf spiders are getting inside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of people worried about, you know, brown recluse or any kind of spider. And if you look up online, deadly spiders, they'll have every spider that we see on there. There's like yellow sac spider. There's a wolf spider was on there today. There's, you know, I saw a lot of things that I usually tell people not to worry. You know, they're not trying to come after you.
Yeah. And a lot of people, too, especially with the wolf spider males in the fall, like I tell them, oh, they'll come in and then they die because they dehydrate, they starve. Like, mm-hmm. Then they're just kind of annoying. You vacuum up their dead bodies with your vacuum and call it a day. Mm-hmm. And I think people, that helps. But
yeah. So, I mean, I guess we should just tell everyone out there who has some fear of insects that, you know, if you need any information, we are here to help and yep. deliver that. If you are interested about a certain insect, we can, you know, have the resources for you. But I mean, you're not alone, but it can be conquered if you want it to be. And, yep.
And knowledge helps with that. And we have plenty of that.
Yeah. So I would encourage you to go to arthropod.blogspot.com and tweet to me at Jody Bugs Me UNL.
Oh, that's a good Twitter handle.
And yours?
Mine is mscavarla36.
mscavarla36. Spell that.
Yeah. just go to the webpage and find it.
Well, we want to thank you for tuning in and tune in again next week.
See you later.
Bye.